Well, we didn't want to be here. We really didn't want to be doing the show to talk about the end of the Eagles season as our season finale. But that's the way it worked out. Kind of expected it, but you know what? We were playing with house money. So, everybody, welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast. And if you're an Eagles fan, you know what happened. You know that the Eagles did not win on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. You also know that they didn't play a good game at all. That was horrible.
Not sure they got off the bus.
But it is what it is. And we can laugh about it now, kind of. We're going to talk about it. We're going to help everybody get through it today and talk about it on the podcast. So thank you for joining us. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, Twitch, or YouTube, thank you for being here on the live stream. Or if you're watching a replay of the live stream, thank you. And if you're listening to us on one of the many podcast providers we're on, I can't even speak today. We appreciate you doing that as well. Thank you for being with us for the whole season. It's been a fun season overall. I will say that I've enjoyed this season. It's our first season doing this podcast. We hope and expect to grow in the years to come. And we hope and expect the Eagles will grow in the years to come. But 100%. It didn't go our way, and when with me, as always, is Tubby, and he's got the Martin Luther King background going on because it was Martin Luther King weekend, so you got an extra day off. So how was your weekend other than the Eagles losing?
Yeah, man, it's business as usual for me, entrepreneur out there selling cheesesteaks. So, man, the weekend was good. Anytime I can see my Eagles play, I'm always, I always want to see them win, but love watching them play, man. No matter what, I just love the excitement, the intensity that they always bring out of me. But overall, it was good, man. A lot of good playoffs games. At least the Bengals game was pretty good.
That was a good game.
The other one, that Bills game was, sheesh. I mean, Bills couldn't do wrong if they tried, man. They couldn't do wrong if they tried. Just a perfect game. So that was, after a while, I was like, I don't need to watch this anymore. But then, watching the Cowboys lose was great, man. So overall, it was a good weekend, man.
I was surprised, before we get into the Eagles game, I was surprised at how many blowouts there were. I was telling you earlier, I went 2-4 in picks and just totally lost it. I looked at the spreads and thought, the favorites might win, but I didn't think they'd cover all these spreads. There was some fairly decent-sized spreads. I mean, Kansas City given 12.5. But I was wrong. It was just a blowout after blowout. And that, unfortunately, other than the Cowboys game and the Bengals game, there weren't a lot of exciting games this weekend, including our Eagles, and that was a shame. So, yeah, it is what it is, and we have to deal with it.
Yeah, man, unfortunately we do. But we take everything on the chin. We're Eagles fans. We went 51 Super Bowls without a Super Bowl. So we, this is a this is one of those years. It was complete. This is a rebuild year. According to the experts, this is a rebuilding year. So for us to even have an additional game or a postseason game, it just gave us one more chance to really evaluate our team, man. And all of the fears that we had with teams over 500, how we needed to start the game, everything, all those things around that kind of just, boom, hit us right there in the first quarter. It was like instant. So, yeah, man. So what you think about the game, man?
Well, I've been like a broken record all year, and there's a lot of blame to pass around on this game. And going in, if you look at the graphic, man, this could have been such a great game. And I honestly think talent-wise, I think the Eagles could have stayed with this team. Because let's back up like we talked about when we previewed the game. No Chris Godwin, no Antonio Brown, no Leonard Fournette. And yet, it's 31-0 before the Eagles even show up. And it's one mistake after another for the Eagles.
Right.
There's a lot of blame to be passed around. I know there's a lot of blame flying in multiple directions. But I said it all year long. And I'm going to go out with the season finale saying it again. Jonathan Gannon is a douchebag. He is him standing on the sidelines. I wanted to punch him in his sunglasses. because he stands there like he's God. He stands there like he's some defensive genius. And it was the crappiest defense. We've seen it all year long. They back everybody, and they came out doing the same stuff to Tom Brady. Yeah. You got one receiver and a tight end. Gronk, you got to give Gronk some credit. You got one receiver and a tight end to worry about, yet we're going to back everybody off the ball, and even our linebackers. When Vaughn went off for 17 yards on the very first play, I went, oh, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because no aggressiveness, didn't blitz. Now, granted, they got to Brady more than they did in week six, so I give the front four credit. But that's just a testament to how banged up the Tampa Bay offensive line was, and that we should have been blitzing on just about every other play or every third play, but we weren't. So, yeah. I mean, this, to me, all the things you want to say about the shortcomings in other parts of the game, and there was plenty of that we'll talk about. If the Eagles come out defensively and get a couple stops early, it doesn't get out of hand. But it before we know it, it's 17-0. And they it's embarrassing. And so all I can say about that, because we've talked about Gannon, we've talked about the scheme, I'm going to say, look at the other side of the football. Look at Todd Bowles, what he did to the Eagles. The exact opposite. Todd Bowles put everybody on the line of scrimmage. It was crazy looking. And they knew the Eagles are going to run. They're going to come at us and they're going to run. We want them to come at us and run. We're going to have two safeties back 10 to 15 yards off the ball to cover the deep pass. And then we're just going to put everybody up front, man to man, lock down everybody. And it worked. Todd Bowles is such a great defensive coordinator, and he's proven it with the Buccaneers. He's proven it his whole career, and what he did in that game was exactly played to what the Eagles, he knew they were going to try to do, and he came at us, shut down the run, put the game in Hurts' hands, and then our defensive coordinator on the other side just said, hey, Brady, Throw to Mike Evans all you want. Yeah, we got Darius Slay who could lock him down, but we're not going to cover Evans. We're not even going to double cover him. We're not even going to put two men on him. It's going to be single coverage all day. We're going to let Nelson cover him a little bit. We're going to let Maddox cover him a little bit. I mean, come on, Gannon. He reminds me of like Chip Kelly and Schwartz. He's a guy that my scheme is the best. The players have to adapt to my scheme. The team's going to fit into my scheme, and that's how it works. I hope to God. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to turn it over to you for your insight, because I've said enough about Gannon. I will say this. I hope to God either Denver or Minnesota, and somebody else actually asked to offer him to a head coaching interview today. I forget which team. Mm-hmm. He got another offer for an interview. I'm like, first of all, really? This is who you want as your head coach? You're even going to give this guy an interview? Go for it. And I hope somebody gets him. That doesn't mean we're going to get a good defensive coordinator, because we went from Schwartz to this guy. So we haven't had that great defensive scheme or great defensive coordinator in a very long time. Very long time. But I know we've got the players that can play defense. I truly believe we've got a great defensive roster. We just don't have a great defensive scheme or coordinator. And that to me, out of everything on Sunday, that was the biggest fault in the Eagles game. In my opinion.
Yeah, man. You already did a number on Gannon, so I'm not even going to because you know when you text me, I didn't see it until late. My phone was actually dead. But when I did see the text, like, you know, we're doing the same thing, you know, that we started the season. And yeah, that, you know, you're right, man. You know, just we knew, okay, everything that we knew we didn't want to do, they made us do. Long story short, but, you know, this is a detailed podcast and we want to talk about it, right? So we knew we can absolutely not go down early. Cannot go down early. So, you know, they get their 7 points, but I'm like, okay. You know, even with them packing the box, stopping the run, first play went for 7 yards. Mm-hmm. First play, Sanders, 7 yards. Then we throw it a couple times and then we're out of there. And it's just like, you know, But it's just we immediately get away for whatever reason for what we do well. And that is my overall problem. We knew if Hurts is going to have to throw the ball over 40 times, it's not going to be success on the back end of that. And I'll say every quarterback that threw the ball over 40 times this weekend lost. Every single one of them. So it's not even, I mean, Hurts' accuracy has always been in question. It was back in question this game. But then it's like when you do string together a positive play, there's always something holding us back. It's a holding call. Goddard dropped another just wide open pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, is Hurts maybe just throwing the ball too hard to him?
No.
So, you know, because, I mean, those are like plays that can get you momentum. You know, Hurts is a very young quarterback. You know, we think Eagles' emotions are high and low. All of a sudden, he's down 14, and now he's feel like he has to press. And it felt like Sirianni was calling 14-point plays, you know, trying to get it back. And nothing looked in rhythm. The offense was never in sync. We didn't do anything consistently. And I thought we never tried to get our young quarterback settled into the game. We go right back to this RPO shit that we already said, yo, the RPOs. And it's like almost like we just teleported back to the first time that we played the Bucks. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm watching this game like, are you kidding me right now? Like it's no rhythm. Throw the quick 5-yarder. Why is everything 15 and 20 yards? I just felt like everything was a home run, swinging for the fences. And you don't need that necessarily to get back into the game. I don't know if Brady completed a pass over 20 yards into the second half. We have this fantasy that you need to, that volume. Volume doesn't mean anything. You know, Derek Carr threw the ball 54 times. What's his name for the Patriots? I'm just talking about quarterbacks threw the ball over 40 times. I'll say it again. They all lost. Jalen threw the ball 43 times. Mm-hmm. Carr, 54. Mac and Cheese threw it about 38, 39 times. Any of those quarterbacks that had the highest volume of throws lost the game.
Yep.
And you got Matthew Stafford, 11 completions, 30 to nothing. Yep. What? Yep. You know, so you have Brady. Brady didn't do, if you look at Brady's stat line, Brady didn't do a whole lot. He just did what he needed to do. Brady took sacks when he needed to versus when, you know, we want to go to some of the bad plays that Jalen made. The one, you know, I felt like he was trying to be too perfect, man. Some of the things look so awkward. Even if we go to the first interception, mm-hmm. It looks so awkward to stop there, set your feet, bro. We're in the backyard. You're throwing it on the run. Why won't you throw it on the run? That's the most natural thing to do. Why would you stop, set your feet, and throw it? I'm like, man, it's like he's just in his head, man. He's not just playing. Just play football, bro. Just play football, man. You're always going to have a lot of noise out there. It's always going to be there until you prove people otherwise. There's always going to be noise. That's just sports.
Yeah.
But I just thought the scheme, we went away from it immediately. We go to the RPOs, and Jalen's losing 3 yards in that play. And I'm like, why don't we just run it downhill? We just ran it for seven. You know, nothing made sense.
Yeah.
Nothing made. And then the more we got down, the worse the play calls got. And like I said, you look at Brady over there, and it's terrible to compare Brady, who's probably been in Jalen's 23. I mean, what's Brady year? What year is Brady on? Like 21? 20?
Oh, yeah.
21?
Yeah,
something like that. I'm just saying.
I think it was 2001 when he came in. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So he's on his 21st year. I mean, this kid's been playing since he was 2 years old. But you notice Brady didn't mind just taking the sack. Chuck the ball, take the sack. But with Jay, he kept trying to force the play. And it's like, bro. Look, man, you can't force the plays at this level. You have to either get the ball out and live with it, but they're trying to make those Superman plays. And it goes back to what I talked about before, when these guys have been such incredible athletes their entire life, just being able to do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Now you get to the big leagues, you can't do whatever you want. You saw that in Kyler Murray, incredible athlete. He's still trying to make that play versus taking that safety. Now you're down. Now it's a pick six. That's a 5-point difference. And just, bro, just take the sack, man. Live. To see another day, man. These young guys, they're going to have time to grow. They're going to have time to grow, man. They just got to relax. But yeah, man, Jalen, obviously, but if we put him in that high volume, we knew the success rate was going to be low, because I don't believe our offense fits that high volume passing scheme.
No.
So I did a little research. I was like, you know, who is it? Is it Jalen, or is it the scheme? You know, I always try to, you know, see what's going on. And, you know, I started looking back to 2018, 2019, 2020, when Gannon was the offensive Sirianni was the offensive coordinator of the Colts.
Right.
You know, did he have success there? Where did he have success at? And I go, boom, stumble upon, damn, yo, your first coordinator job, your quarterback is Andrew Luck, mm-hmm. right? Andrew Luck goes 18 for 35, 196 yards in his final game. So what is it about? And there's no question that Andrew Luck can throw the ball. There's no question that he knows the offense. So how can he even have these low success rates? And you got Jacoby Brissett the next year. That was his first starting job. They went up and down. They started out 5-2, but then they tanked at the end. Right. Jacoby got hurt a lot. Then last year he had Philip Rivers. And I was kind of looking at Philip Rivers' last game, about 50% passing. And I'm always trying to understand. You know, I'm not a big slander guy. I try to understand it all. You got a young quarterback, man. That wasn't a good game plan for a young quarterback. Even if I don't know if the run didn't work, because the first one went for 7, and then we did RPOs, and then we threw the ball. Just too many mistakes, man. And then I thought, a little long-winded here, but I thought when we got going, when anything positive happened, it's like immediately something negative would happen.
Yeah.
Whether it's a drop pass, the holding calls killed us.
It's amazing.
That was a phantom holding call.
There was some bad calls. So that's
that. That was a bad call too. My goodness.
So it's interesting you say that, because it's right. I don't want to. It wasn't entirely the officials, but damn, they didn't help any. Because the play to Barnett, which we're showing on the screen right now, they're saying that he hit him low, and you could see it's right on Brady's hip. He didn't hit him late. So this is a tweet from Field Yates. It says, the NFL needs to implement a rule this offseason where defensive players are allowed to do their job and not get flagged for personal foul. And that's exactly true. And later on in the same first half, Jalen got hit low and late and nothing. And it's all depends on who it is. And like you said, the phantom holding calls were just outrageous. Some of them were so bad, and it was had me hoarse yelling at the screen, because it's like they don't need any help. If we've got them on a 3rd and 6 and we stop them, stop throwing your flag out as soon as the play is over, because it was bad stuff. And you know what's bad? When you have the announcers on our side saying that, Mike Pereira talking about it was clearly, and then Troy Aikman of all people saying that wasn't a penalty. I mean, and how many times? It was like a broken record.
Right.
And I know that, you're the Eagle homer, you get calls, but it's like, but very rarely does the announcers agree that these are really bad calls. And there was 4 or 5 of them in the game. And so that really hurts when you've got a bad defensive scheme, bad offensive scheme, rough quarterback play. Then you compound it by any time you do something good. Because Jalen did have flirtations in the first half with a little bit of success after the first couple of drives. The one that the interception that had Devontae, it was a good drive, and it was they were moving. The problem with that, when I saw it, my wife, who's not doesn't watch much football.
Mm-hmm.
She said to me, first of all, she said, that was just a great play. Safety came all the way across the end zone. And I said, but look how much time that safety had to get over in that position. Right. And she goes, well, he didn't really throw it that hard compared to like how Brady throws his passes. I'm like, yeah. So you're right when you say that Jalen stopped, he was indecisive. And that's been a problem with him this year. And I think he's getting a rap that's his mechanics. I'm wondering if it's the coaching that is not, you've got guys all around him and nobody has told him up to this point or helped him with his decision.
And Sirianni is a quarterback coach by trade. Exactly. That was his first couple of jobs that he got. Now, he did get fired as the quarterback's coach and moved to the wide receiver's coach. Yeah. I did question that. Like, man, you was a quarterback's coach and they moved you to the wide receiver's. Yeah. So maybe, but we all have to take that in consideration too. Who is Nick Sirianni?
Yeah.
Who is Gannon?
Yeah.
These guys? Yeah. Who is Jalen Hurts? You can name that. Until you prove yourself on the NFL level, who are you?
Exactly.
So we have so many nobodies on this team, or unproven guys. How about that? Yeah. Unproven guys, with the exception of our champions that are on the team. But I'm talking about the quarterback position and our coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the scheme was bad. I thought, man, just watching them just throw the ball 5 and 6 yards. And we talk about scheme and coaching.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, here's what really pissed me off in the game. When you see Devontae just sitting down there at the bottom of the screen, you're like, bro, just throw the quick check to him. Why don't you just throw the quick check to him? That settles you into the game. He's right there. Throw the quick check. no targets. So why aren't you even coming to the sideline where you say, yo, we have to get the ball to Devontae, this to play. Where's the Devontae Smith play that you're drawing up? And then if Hurts makes the bad pass, you go, ah. Or if he completes, you go, okay. But I felt like you didn't even make a concerted effort to get your best players in the game. You know, Goddard could have had another, you know, crazy game, really. You know, he's always six catches, you know, 56, you know, 90-something yards. He's always going to be in there. But I was disappointed, man. Another thing I was really disappointed in the route running in Quez. Thought he gave up on a couple of routes. Just didn't make – it's like they're running with their heads down. I don't want to go into Chelsea rants, but it almost feels like how Chelsea is playing right now. But they're running – Quez is out there. He's running routes. And the ball is thrown, but you never see that burst, that hit, you know, see the ball, go get the ball. Right. You know, it's like they partially threw the routes. They're stopping in the routes. Quez stopped in two of his routes. That made the ball look worse. Right. But I'm like, man, if you actually look at Quez, he's not even he's not expecting it, which no matter who your quarterback is, you're a wide receiver. You have to expect the ball every time. It goes back to the baseball. The ball's coming to me. The ball's coming to me. The ball's – it's just elementary stuff. And I felt like he didn't give him really clean routes. I didn't think, you know, he had a good burst on his play. Even on the deep ball, it's like, yeah, the ball's overthrown, but he stopped midway through the play. You see a lot of these young receivers doing it, period.
Yeah.
A lot of them did it. Cedric Wilson did it in the game. I think CD Lamb did it. They just stop in mid-route. Like, right. Bro, the play is not over, man. Work back to the ball, if anything.
Yeah.
But they will go out there if the ball isn't thrown to them, it seems like in 3 seconds, up. They're looking in the stands, or you know what I'm saying, or they taking a selfie on the field. Yeah. Like, what the hell is going on, man? So there's a lot of things, but our team is so, so, so young at every coaches, players. We have to build around. I don't know how much we want to bang on about the game. It was just bad, man. We have to build.
There's more to be said. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not extremely angry. I am disappointed because of, like I said, I hammered Gannon. I think if we had a different defensive scheme in there, we would have done much better. Maybe force some turnovers, put Brady on his back. You know, you look at what the Saints did to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and that's what I said. All I said was watch that game. Watch how they play Brady. Watch how they frustrated him. And what do we do? We do the same thing we did in week 6. That means that Gannon hasn't learned anything. So we talk about that, and that's a bad part of the game. That we can't let, you know, Hurts completely off the hook because he did make some bad throws. The first interception, he should have thrown it much sooner than he did. The second interception, okay. He was, you know, 4th and 3, and you're reaching, and you're desperate. And the play call was bad, but then the play is bad. And so he definitely looked like he was forcing. So it's part his own inexperience, in part his own mechanics, and it's part the coaching. And I agree with you all the way, because this is my biggest thing on the coach's side. If they're setting up a 9-man box, and this is what they were doing to stop the run, and you're running, and I said they needed to run to the outside, and they were running to the outside, and it gets stuffed, don't give up. And that's the problem, is right. That they gave up. They had, I think, three or four runs at all in the first half. Again, it's the same thing that they did early in the season against good teams. They give up. And like you said, if you would have told me before the game that Jalen Hurts was going to attempt 43 passes, I would have went, well, we just lost. And not that I don't have any faith in his passing ability. I know that is not a winning formula for this team. We've watched it all year. So
right. That's really all it is. It's a good critique. Like 100%. Like we said it here, exactly. Right here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. If we got behind early, it was going to be hard to get back into the game, because I'm telling you, man, our offensive scheme, it just doesn't allow. I don't know. You know, I'm gonna take this year all in. Take it as a learning experience for everybody on the team. We are in an incredible position in the draft. Because, you know, by the time that second half came, it was kind of like, yeah, whatever, man. And then when they got that touchdown to Evans, and it was so easy, the Gronk touchdown. How do you draw up a play where they say, hey, and don't stick Gronk, okay? You don't have to worry about Gronk. It's so many small things that the Eagles lack, man, is leadership on defense. We talked about that all year. Yeah. Talk about leadership on defense.
Yeah.
No leadership on defense. Edwards went down. TJ Edwards, that was a big deal, too. Yes. You know, Edwards going out the game was kind of out of reach. But he went out the game, but you're still losing your best players. Right. You know, so I don't know.
No Josh Sweat, and that made a big difference. You know, Barnett played like he always does, lackadaisical, and he had the roughing the passer call, which was kind of not. But other than that, you didn't hear his name called too much. Hargrave, Milton Williams playing out of his head. The front four played pretty decent, but the rest of the team, not too much. And that brings us to, when you talk about the Gronk play, that would put him up 31-0. There's one big catalyst in that, and that brings us to the segment, our last one of the year.
Hell to the no, to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no.
There's one person that we cannot let off the hook at all. And it's this man right here, Jalen Reagor, on our Hell to the Nah segment. This is a little slide that came out before the game that I had pulled. And it shows that Henry Ruggs finished the season with more yards, 469, than the Eagles' first-round pick Jalen Reagor did, 299 to end the season. And Henry Ruggs went to jail week 8. That says a lot. And now, granted, Jalen Rager's not in jail, so he's probably better off than Henry Ruggs is right now. But it's just to stress a point. Jalen Rager's done absolutely nothing for this team. He is a detriment to this team. He shouldn't even be out there. We've said 5-6 weeks ago that he shouldn't be out there returning kicks. He brings nothing. He had one good return all season. He brings nothing. He's always indecisive. And this time his indecisiveness killed us because, granted, you're down 24-0, but you're going to get the ball in good field position. And that was probably one of the worst attempts at a punt return that I've ever seen. He didn't. He just basically sat down and reached his hands out.
Yeah, man.
And
it was bad, man. It was bad. Cause, go ahead.
I'm just going to say he's got to go. I don't care what he does after this. You know, people are saying, give him time. No, he's had time and chances. He needs a change of scenery and a better coach or whatever. Right. I don't think the guy is NFL caliber. I turned to my wife when that happened. I said, you know what? The football is just not his thing. It's just not his thing. Maybe Foot Locker, maybe something like that where he can talk about his glory days at TCU. But it's not his thing. It's not his thing.
Hey, TCU, maybe go be a preacher. So, a pastor.
There you go. There you go. Use your degree.
You know, the biggest thing, man, about this Eagles team and, you bringing Reagor up is because football is complimentary. No matter what, man, it's complimentary. That's how Matthew Stafford can complete 11 passes and still win a game in a blowout fashion. Mm-hmm. Because everything's working. They rushed for 72 yards in the first quarter. Like, what? 72 yards from that squad? That's crazy. All of a sudden, boom, everything is just work. You got Odell throwing passes. I mean, Chase running crispy routes. Odell's wide open. But Jordan Howard with no carries until like the second half. Yeah. So this is where I go back to coaching. So you have that's why I feel like, man, next year, I think Sirianni's seat is warm. And the quarterback position is always going to be warm in Philly. It just is what it is. So I think we're going to see who we're going to cut bait on. I think unless they have a great season. Well, let me put it like this. I hope they both get there, because that means we had a good season. But if they have a bad season next year, I think somebody's going to cut bait. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that they're going to cut bait on either Hurts or Sirianni. Sirianni gets a lot of here's a good thing about the Eagles team in general. They're not a bad team. Here's why I say that. We went 9-1 against teams under 5. So we beat bad teams. We didn't beat good teams. So we're stuck in the middle. Mm-hmm. We're a mediocre. We're just a good team. You make the playoffs, you're at least a good team. I'm not going to disrespect my birds like that. You make the playoffs. You're supposed to. The difference between you being a good team and a bad team is you have to beat the bad teams. Mm-hmm. And we went 9-1 in that very regrettable Giants game. Mm-hmm. But you can have a glass, overall 9-1 against bad teams. That's encouraging. Like, okay, at least we beat the bad teams this mm-hmm. year. Now we got to figure out how can we beat the good teams. Jordan Howard, who sparked this whole run, this whole change in philosophy in the Eagles game when Sanders got hurt, all of a sudden he's running downhill. We get into this game, he has no carries until the second half. Scott doesn't have any carries until garbage time. Then the coin toss. If you know you can't get down, why not just take the ball? Mm-hmm. Why are you giving Brady the ball? So what are you proving? That's what I say. So many things here, man. What are you proving by giving Brady the ball first? Who would give Brady the ball first? And why is that important? Now, this is important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm, like I said, every little detail of the game, man. When coaches win, it's every detail. And I said the small things and stuff like it's a lot of the small little things, man, preparing. And I thought that was garbage, man. I thought we, with a young quarterback, at least let him step out on the field first. If we get 3 or 7, ooh, that's a whole different tone versus I hope they don't score. Oh, shit, they score. When you know you have a defense that plays soft as hell and they're probably going to get up points, why not just take the ball first? So at least you can get ahead. But it's almost like every little facet, man. It's like, look, if you're going into that game like, hey, Jalen, you have to absolutely win it for us, then that's a bad game plan. That's a terrible game plan. Get the ball into playmakers' hands. And I feel like we didn't try to do that. We didn't try to get the ball to Devontae Smith. How does he only have one catch at the end of the second quarter? That's coaching. You can literally pull him to the side. Like, it doesn't matter what Jalen Hurts sees or thinking. You pull him to the side. Hey, this play is for Devontae Smith. Throw the fucking ball to him. Exactly. Like that's, but it's nothing. And you got Troy Aikman sitting there like, why are they throwing it to? Everybody knows this. It's kind of like the run all year when they run and the fans give them that sarcastic clap when Sanders finally gets the ball. How does everybody know it except for our damn coaching staff? Those are my problems. How does Gannon not know that he sucks? How does he not get fired? Now, I'm going to talk out both sides of my mouth on that. I think the thing that did Brian Flores in Miami wasn't the record and the team and the spirit. It was the new coordinators every year. Mm. Lack of continuity. But what made Gannon really keep his job? Like, anybody could have did that. What makes the special team coach keep his job when you have Rager back there returning punts all year? How can we just accept that we get nothing from our return game? How can we accept that?
Exactly.
Who accepts that shit? That's my problem, man. That's how, I don't know. I have a real big problem with a lot of that shit, man. Yeah. Just keeping the same players in, just keeping Rager in until he finally does us in. It's like, what does he have to show you for you to him say, how you can show, you know how much film you have on Jalen Rager to be able to tell him why you sitting him down? Or you need to know why I'm sitting you down? Come to the film room. Well, I'll show you. Come on, man. We could have put Huntley back there. Try to get some type of spark. Exactly. Why did we sign him and didn't even use him at all? Then we got Rager dropping fucking punts, man. I was real disappointed in so many things. Where I get disappointed. I didn't expect the Eagles to beat the Bucks. I didn't expect Jalen Hurts to outduel Brady, but I did expect some common sense shit to happen, and we didn't. We didn't do it. And it was just very disappointing, man. I just hope we don't bring that into next year. That's the only thing I fear, man. It's bringing that shit in the next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, when I always had this fear of Schwartz, it was like, I thought if we could move on from him, then and get a coordinator that was a little bit more aggressive, that was a little bit more trusted as players, and let them make plays, than try to have some fancy, you know, ass scheme to do the job for him, that we would do better, and then we get Gannon, who's again, like I said earlier in the season, Schwartz 2.0, and the reason he still has a job, and it's been talked about, is that he's Sirianni's boy. They're friends. It'd be like if you and I had we're managing a team together. We're close. We've known each other for a long time. I got you as my D coordinator, but you're horrible. You're stinking up the joint. I'm not going to see it. I'm really not going to see it because I'm going to talk to you. You're going to tell me what's going on. I'm going to go, all right, then I'll give you another chance. And then we end up both going down with the ship. And that's what will end up happening. I think that's what happened with Gannon. That's why I'm hoping... Now, it's no guarantee we're going to get somebody better than Gannon, but I'm hoping he does get hired at one of these jobs. I really do, because I think that's the first step. But like you said, going forward, carrying it on, if we can't realize that some of these guys are not talented, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside got to go. He isn't even on here, hadn't even been playing. Jalen Rager here on the stat sheet, 3 targets, 1 reception, 2 yards. That's enough. I'm done with him in a playoff game. And then, you know... Devontae Smith, by the end of the game, had 11 targets, but in the first half, nearly nothing. He gets 60 yards. Of course, Goddard gets his 92 yards, just about average. But the big thing that you said there is that it almost made me upset that Miles Sanders played with a fractured hand and came out of there because Jordan Howard should have started that game. I thought we would get Miles Sanders in there to spell Howard. We didn't get any Howard, and Howard didn't even have a carry. He came in just a block. He got one reception for 7 yards in the entire game. Boston Scott had one carry for 34 yards and outperformed just about everybody in the rushing with one carry. Why is Boston Scott only getting one carry? You know, Gainwell gets one carry. So we get, but overall,
he looked pissed when overall, he was running that ball.
Overall, look at the numbers. 8 carries between all three running backs anyway. It goes back. If you tell me, that our running backs are only going to get 8 carries in the playoff game, I'm going to tell you we're going to lose. On the 100%. Other side, you look at the Buccaneers, you got Vaughn with 17 carries and Bernard with 13 carries, and they nearly hit 100. And that was because, again, our linebackers playing out of position because we're playing that stupid soft zone. They're not aggressive enough. They're not trying to blitz and get in there. And then, you know, again, Brady with his numbers, 29 to 37, 78.4 completion percentage. And all of that, all of it, if you look at their wide receivers, granted, you got Bernard with 39 yards, Gronkowski with 31, but all of it to Mike Evans. So you're telling me as a defense, you don't realize that they have no Godwin, no Brown, that these guys are not going to catch anything, so you're not going to double Evans the entire game? And he wasn't. If you watch the game, he was never double covered. He was always single covered, and he was always wide open. So it's ridiculous to me. And like I said, we talked about the comparison between Brady and Hurts, but the big thing you got to look at when you look at the passing comparison is look where Brady's passes are coming from on this chart. From the line of scrimmage, he completed 5 of 6 to the left, 2 of 2 in the middle, and two to the right, 2 out of 2 to the right. That's all beyond the line of scrimmage. He has 40 yards on the left side alone behind the line of scrimmage.
All right.
And then you look at where I said last week where he was going to kill us if we vacated the middle. Look at those middle numbers. And that's Gannon just left it open.
That's all under 10 yards. Look how many completions under 10 yards.
One pass over 20 yards. Pass that 20-yard marker.
Right, and that was to Evans. That's probably that touchdown to Evans, that 36-yard where he's just running open. I think about that too, man. Now, this is a good chart because I wonder why our guys just simply – I mean, I know we can throw them open. I know we can anticipate them throwing open. That's a lot of things Hurts got to work on, that anticipation. But where are the guys that are just open sometimes? You know, sometimes, man. I mean, besides the Goddard drop, that was probably the most open guy. But if you watch a lot of games, it's like, damn, yo, where's that play where we have a guy wide open? It seems like every time we do throw the ball, it's a guy right there. Now, I don't know if that's a timing thing. I don't know if that's a timing thing, but I feel like I've seen that all throughout the year, from preseason all the way till now. No matter who was the quarterback in there, everything's real tight. Bop, bop, bop. For Brady, for Jay to have nine passes, 1 for 9 deep, you bring that stat back up.
1 for 9.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Who suggests that?
So two out of 11.
Who suggests that over 20 yards? Yeah, that was a low percentage. They're not even asking Brady to do that shit. No. That's the problem with scheme. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing here is bad scheme, man. All these plays under 20 yards, but Jalen feels like he has to throw the ball, obviously, you know, plus 20 yards 11 times. That's what I was saying earlier with the home run. The 14-point plays is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Trying to get 14-point plays back.
Exactly.
You look at Brady's stuff, man. I think this will happen no matter what the score is. They can kind of – because they have consistency in what they do. The Eagles got to really go, man, this year and really see what they do well. And don't change, man.
Yep.
We couldn't – this is not a winning formula for us, period.
Not at all. And so I put that up there to illustrate where our weaknesses were. Now, there is a play going around. It's on several websites. You can look it up. There is a play that they're circling that where Jalen completely misses Quez Watkins wide open down.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But it's the anticipation play. He moves before Quez breaks. Right. He moves. In fairness to him, he should have held longer.
Right, because one of the things they're detracting is that he felt the pocket collapse, and it wasn't collapsing. But
it wasn't. It wasn't.
But again, you've got a guy in there in Suapeta playing guard because Herbig was out. You're playing a little happy feet. I think it was the pressure of the moment was big because we did see Jalen pull out a little bit, too early.
He was drifting weird. Yeah, he was just drifting. Yeah. Even on the pick, He's staring at Devontae, the first pick. He's staring at Devontae the entire, mm-hmm. bro. What? But he just won't throw it. And I'm just yeah. thinking myself, like, you're waiting for the, he's overthinking, bro. Yeah. Anybody just throws that damn ball. That's where
defender.
I go back to.
You see the defender
where it's
fall
like,
down.
It's bigger than mechanics. It's just like, yeah, it's bigger than mechanics. It's like, yo, man, and you should have rapport with Smith. You was there in Bama with him.
Right.
You were there with Bama with him. I mean, granted, you were benched and Tua came in and threw the ball to him. So I get that part of it. But still, as far as timing goes, I thought he should have a way better rapport
right.
With Smith, man. And just he's forcing the ball to Rager on fourth downs. It's some weird shit. That's mm-hmm. what I said, just weird. How is Jalen? How are you in that huddle? You like Quez and Jalen over Devontae. It's just so crazy, man. Like, I don't understand. That's some things I don't understand. Like Jalen Rager on fourth down, bro. I'm never throwing him the ball on fourth down. Yeah. I'll force it to Goddard before I throw the ball to Rager because the percentage rate is low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll force it to Smith, like on the 2-point conversion, when, you know, see if he can just make a great play on the ball versus throwing it to Jalen Rager. You know, our guys, man, goddamn, even with that pick, like, bro, come back to the, I don't know. I think our guys don't react well to the ball. So, like, if it's not throwing right in their breadbasket, they're like, eh. You didn't see, you know, only spectacular plays you saw was from Smith. You didn't see any from Quez. You didn't see any from Jalen Rager. None of these yep. plays, man. No great plays. Where's our damn Deebo Samuel's 26-yard run?
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Where our court, so many ways to win a game. I think that's why when I say it's so complimentary is that your quarterback doesn't need to air it out all the time to win a game. We see Garoppolo go right in there. Dude just kind of just held his breath. You know, he was like 18 for like 20, 18, complete 18 passes and a pick, you know, under 20 yards. And they're walking off the field because you have special players. You have these plays, man. I just feel like the Eagles have a dud of an offense sometimes where it's almost like only one receiver is even the target play. You see a lot of guys in the same space.
Yes.
I don't know if you
yes.
see that. And yep. Stacking on top of each other. Yep. So, I mean, it's so much deeper, man. It's like you'll see guys like stacking. You'll see multiple times in the same position. I think Goddard and Quez was like in the same spot. And it's like, yo, what's going on? But even if you look at that the week before against the Jets, when Minshew almost threw the pick, it was between those two guys. They're right mm-hmm. there, right? You got Smith, right. And then you had Goddard and me. What is going on? That's a scheme, bro.
Yeah.
That's why I don't bang on as much about just throwing the ball per se. But right. what is you know? It's easy. Yeah, you point out the Quez play, but you know,
yeah,
it's a bad anticipation. He does. He turns his head before Quez makes that break, and that's why I was talking about the anticipation he has right, to work right. on this year. He worked on anticipating and living with those throws, man. A lot of quarterbacks you see, they'll anticipate and they'll live with the throw. A lot of quarterbacks stare right. receivers down. A lot of them do. They stare down their first read. Favre used to all the time. Rolling back in the pocket, kind of la-di-la. But he has to stop drifting to the right, drifting to the left. It's like his mind is just taking
exactly.
him back, which is kind of like, you know, hey, man, sit there in that pocket. And if you get hit in the mouth, so be it. Just take the sack like you've seen Brady do. Brady never got outside them tackles. He just stood right there.
No.
And you closed it. He said, oh, I'll live to see it another day.
Yeah, why would he? I mean, and the thing that we've got to stress here is that we are not Jalen Hurts fanboys. We have been critical of him this season, but we also are realists. And I think to the point we've been this way all season that we know it's not all on him. When he right. struggles, there's more to it than that. I think it's so easy, and the casual football fan, especially the casual Philly fan, can knee-jerk reaction and say, oh, let's Minshew's the guy, or Hurts is definitely, we need to draft another quarterback because Hurts is definitely not the guy. And I'm like, well, pump the brakes a little bit because we really haven't evaluated Hurts with a full offense where with real weapons other than you got Smith, like you said, Smith and Goddard. The rest of the weapons aren't really there. You could say Quez Watkins is okay, but definitely Jalen Rager isn't. And who knows about Quez? But the big thing that stands out in this game and that worries me going forward, because we've said it, I hope this isn't how it is going forward, is that when they had 9 men in the box, we don't adjust. When they're doubling Devontae Smith because they know that Devontae's the man, we don't adjust. We sit there and keep trying to run RPOs, get away from the run. You know, if the run is being stuffed at the line of scrimmage or on the side, You have to come up with ways to disguise the run. How many times did Jalen Hurts do a play action? I didn't see many.
It was like a couple, and those are the ones that he was actually had success
exactly,
on.
Exactly, exactly. It wasn't, and that's the thing, is so you're not doing misdirections. You're not doing anything to, counter it's runs, like, you know, do you remember the game Stratego, where you had the board game, and you got all your pieces, and they, you know what you got. So you basically got these pieces. Your opponent just sees the black side, and on the inside, you see what type of player you've got. So that each player has a different value. And the way the game works is that you have to move your pieces into your opponent's territory without them knowing what it is. And if your opponent attacks you and they're a lower rank, then you take their piece. It's kind of like chess, but it's...
Okay.
And so you don't know what the other team has got. A reason I bring that up is because we play Stratego, but we turn our pieces right to the other team so we show them exactly what we have. We say, look, this is what we're going to do. I mean, it was easy for them. The way I noticed that the Buccaneers did, and it was brilliant, the two safeties back 20 yards off the ball, everybody on the line of scrimmage. The ball snapped. No fake. It's a straight-up run play. Cool. Everybody slides to the ball. There's no reverse. There's no anything. There's no
counters.
Exactly. No counter plays. It's just a straight-up, we're going to run a slant or we're going to run RPO. The defense waits. Man. Defense waits. Cool. Bam. Slide it. Stuff it. Done. And then when it's a pass play, we're locked. We got you locked down in man. Hurts backs up. Everybody's covered. You know, and somebody slips out, of course, because it's a man defense. But now we're bringing 5-6 guys. So yeah, everybody's covered. And now Hurts is like, oh crap, I got to get rid of the ball, but there's nowhere to throw it to. Boom, sack, throwing it out of bounds, trying to throw it downfield, forcing it. And that's the thing that the Eagles did not get away from. They didn't try to disguise anything they did on offense. And that worries me going forward, is that you're not helping your quarterback out when you're not giving him opportunities to make plays by designing plays that fool the defense. Because to me, the as a football fan for most of my adult life, the idea, the strategy behind football is to fool your opponent. That's the biggest thing. You get into a huddle to come up with a play that they don't know you're going to execute.
Right.
So why would you just do a vanilla offense where everything is laid out and you make it so easy? It wasn't that way on the other side of the ball. We gave them plays. I mean, but Brady can look at a defense and go, I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going. And boom, he hits the, you know, we gave it to him. So, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of blame to go around. We could talk about it all night, I'm sure, but it's over. I'm okay with it.
I wasn't too bent out of shape.
We didn't know we were even going to have a playoff game, and kind of what was fitting, because we talked about it before the show. Kind of what was fitting was that after the game was over, we got to see the Cowboys lose, and I don't want to say that it makes it all better. It doesn't. But it does help a little bit. I mean, it did cheer me up.
And it meant a lot to me. The Cowboys, because I really thought they had a chance to really annoy me for a couple more weeks, and I was like, it's over. You don't have to hear from a cow. What?
I know.
Incredible. Insane.
And the thing was that they were my lock in the picks game, and I lost my double, but I didn't care, because it was watching the fans, and we talked about a little bit in the pre-show, was that they were just openly weeping. And when they kept showing them, my wife said, oh, they're just trying to find the fans that are crying. I said, no, I think everybody's really crying. And I think that they could show the entire stadium. They were in shock, bro. They were
100%.
And we talked about it. And I said that the reason the Eagles don't cry when we lose and we don't act that way is because we're realists. We know what we got. And we don't set our expectations. Now, we thought we could possibly beat the Bucs, but we both said, it more than likely ain't going to happen. Had the Eagles lost a close game, I might have been more upset. You know, if they would have been in it to the end and lost with a field goal, I'd been like, oh, my heart, that hurts. Ow, ow. But, and like the Cowboys lost because that came down to one of the stupidest plays I've ever seen, a quarterback run, scramble, with no timeouts left, up the middle. You didn't even go to the sidelines, dude. It was like, we're just going right up the middle and hope we get another play.
You know, I'm going to play slightly, just slightly devil's advocate here. Slightly. I thought that it was also terrible, terrible officiating. Look, man, at the high school level, seeing I was refereeing one game. I was the line judge. I wasn't the ump that spots the ball, but I was the line judge.
Right.
And, but like, team called a timeout and our white hat called us over there. Like, yo, hey, how do what? Hey, be on the ball, be as fast, be as quick as you possibly. Man, that damn ref, he shouldn't have been that far down the field. He should have been running with Dak. When Dak was running, he should have been running right with Dak. Now, this is from a high school coach. I'm a nationally certified high school referee.
And you're also in shape.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, he was. And those guys running all year, man. I just could not believe how far. I thought it was a bit of a dereliction duty on the ref's part. I really do. As much as I love to see the Cowboys run out of time, and believe me, I loved it. I was like, that is shitty. Then you run in the Dak. You could have just signaled to the up judge. You could have just signaled to him. Yeah. Yo, spot the ball. Come touch it. That's a play where that ref, him in particular, did not need to touch the ball. Anybody could have touched that ball. I felt like it was a failure on all the officials in the middle of the field between the white hat, the ump, and then the back judge and the ump. Either one of those guys could have touched that damn ball or at least put their hands up. I know Dak just gave it to the center, but still, they train us to be right in there in their face. Be visible to the players. This is what they, again, at high school level, be visible to the players, not a ref to be found. Come on, man. So I thought that was a bit goofy on that ref. He come in, knocked damn Dak down. I thought they could have put 1 second on the clock and ran the play. I thought the refs played a part in that, personally.
Well, I'll say a couple things to this. Yeah, I'm not upset either. In fact, I found all that amusing. But it's true, and I will say two things to that. Number one, I'm a big believer. I'm an ageist when it comes to referees. I've said to many people over the years, I think that when somebody turns 50 years old, they need to be done being an official. You see so many guys out there that are pushing 60 or more that are not qualified to be on an NFL football. They can't keep up. And I've watched these 65-year-old men look right at a play, and it's clear and obvious what it is, and they make the call wrong. Your mental acumen is not as sharp as it is when you're younger. And I'm 50 now myself, and so I know I shouldn't be out on a football field refereeing with pros, maybe in a high school, maybe, you know, in some minor league, whatever, but not with pros, not when it's this important. And so I'll say the one thing about that. But number two, I will say, you're right that the ref could have had a hand in it or possibly has a hand in it, but the Cowboys should know better, playing with fire. They had a chance to do two Hail Marys from, the 40, and they felt the need to get 10 more yards when they had no timeouts. That's almost like handing the ball off when you got no more timeouts of 14 seconds.
That's 100%.
So McCarthy makes a big error. If you're going to do two plays and you want to get a little bit closer, throw some sideline passes so your guys can catch it and get out of bounds. Why are you doing that knowing you have no timeouts? So to me, it's all on them. And it is what it is. Like I said, I didn't want to lose my lock of the week in picks game. And just for everybody to know, we're not covering the results of the picks game. I will say that I'm 40 points down. We will reveal the results of the picks game when we do our pre-draft show, our mock draft show in the future. We'll discuss all that. But that's not what we're here for tonight. But, yeah, so I didn't want to lose that game. But in the end, when that clock ran out, man, I felt so much better. And we got a little clip to show just for fun of some of the – this is one of the TikToker that I like really well. He does a lot of Cowboy stuff, but he's a really funny guy. And this was his reaction to the Cowboys' loss in the wild card to the 49ers.
We just end the game on a clocked ball?
Did we just end the game on a clocked ball?
Nobody contact me for 24 hours.
I'm so serious.
What do you want?
I'm sorry, Mom.
Penalty.
We ain't got no discipline.
How we got the most talent in the league and we get all these penalties? Can't win one game in the playoffs.
Nah, but we ain't deserve to win playing like that.
Then we're right. We are one and done team.
I'm tired of this. Every year, it's the same thing.
Didn't y'all lose earlier? Why are you calling me? Y'all suck too.
Don't
Y'all suck too. Shut up. Packers fans were right about Mike McCarthy. This man garbage.
Did I ever see another Super Bowl in my life?
Jerry Jones, you don't remember the last time you were this disappointed? I remember last season. Every season. That's what you're talking about.
What a waste of time. Why do I give them so much time of my life for this?
Micah Parsons getting held every play. Where the refs at? Oh, why the refs leave so soon?
Come on.
Okay, maybe they were right. Maybe we're just a one and done team.
Maybe that's all we can do.
Maybe.
So it's good stuff. Well, you know, the thing is that the Eagles fans feel that way a little bit too. But man, like we talked before the show, I think the Cowboys fans take it harder because they build themselves up. This team, they expected to be in, if not in the Super Bowl, in the NFC Championship game, because they thought maybe, yeah, we'll get there against the Packers. Maybe we got a shot. They were already, like I said earlier, they got up Sunday morning. And they felt great. They got that cup of coffee going. They got their smokers going, you know, ready for some food. They got all the friends showing up. They throw on that crisp, clean Cowboy jersey. And then they sit and watch the Eagles get blown out. And they're like, woo! They're jumping around smiling. There's some great videos of when the Cowboys started their comeback and the 49ers threw a pick six. And they're just giving the 49er fans hell in the stadium. I'm like, you guys are still down. But they were convinced even then that the Cowboys were going to come down the field and win that game. Yeah. And then when it didn't happen, it's like the earth cracked open and they all fell in and they're just done. And that's why they're as more upset than we are. Because we like I do like that video where he's like, Eagles, you suck too. Yeah, we know. That's the difference. We knew. You all didn't. We tried to tell you. Because we said it in the early parts of the season when they won some of the we thought they were a good team, but I never believed they were going to win the Super Bowl this year, but I thought they were a good team. But we were like pump the brakes a little bit with all the media hype that was going on because there's a lot of good teams in the NFC, and we're seeing it. You know they were just not up to snuff, and to lose to the 49ers again, they lost to the Cardinals a few weeks ago, so that was a kind of a warning sign. But what cracks me up is that. They lost to the Cardinals. Then they hang 60 points on the Eagles practice squad, and they're crowning themselves. I'm like, guys.
Right. Yeah, you called that. Like, let them celebrate their meaningless. They have to feel, because Dak, anybody we play, I mean, he had his chest all the way out at the end of the game, giving the interview. It doesn't matter who we play.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, so it makes you wonder. That brings up an interesting question. So it's all moot point now because it both went either way. Was it right for the Cowboys to play their starters in that final game and overhype themselves? And was it wrong for the Eagles to rest their starters? I'm thinking, looking at how badly the Eagles played against the 49ers, mm-hmm. I really think that it should have been starters versus starters in that game. Because Eagles are like resting their starters for what?
For what?
You don't even know what you got. You're the seventh seed going in. And I think it was Sirianni doing it because that's what you're supposed to do. But you know what? You needed, the Eagles needed a real test against a real team going into the playoffs. Instead, we played Washington twice,
that's a good point.
The Giants twice, the Jets, the Lions. We beat one good team, which was the Saints. And, you know, it's like we didn't practice well enough to be able to be ready for the playoffs. We didn't have a playoff environment. That game, that Week 18 game, would have been, if both starters, sets of starters would have played, that could have been a really good test for the Eagles to see what they had going in.
Up.
And unfortunately, hindsight, maybe next time they don't do that. If Sirianni is given a next time, we'll see. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I did think that, you know, this guy stopped by today. He was from Doylestown, PA, outside of Philly. He stopped by, got a Philly cheesesteaks from me. And he asked me, he said, you think Hurts is long term? I said, man, you know, I think we got to build around him. And, you know, he was talking about like accuracy and stuff like that. But one thing that he mentioned was was basically Sirianni as well, too. You know, just kind of the coaching staff and just kind of getting everything together, man. And I think that's what the Eagles need to focus on. You know, we had just a back and forth, pretty good conversation, man. He's been to Camden before. It was good to see a homer. It's always good to see a homer. Yeah, talk to somebody familiar. And he was a Birds fan. So, Yeah, man. He wasn't necessarily sold or hurt. So I said, we got to give him one more year. It's build around him in the draft. I know, one of the questions you had, where do we go from here? I don't know if we're at that point yet in the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. We're winding down at this point. Yeah. So we really, we're going to do a mock draft show, I think, probably beginning of March, because the draft's in April. So we do want everybody to know that this isn't the end of this podcast. We are going to be back in a couple months to break that down, because that's huge. We got three draft picks in the first round. Yeah. And whether they trade or what we do, there's a lot of rumors going around about the future of the Eagles. Nothing's happened yet. We'll see what happens.
We're not getting Aaron Rodgers.
They're
out of their mind. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the big one for me is the Russell Wilson thing, and we've talked about that before on this podcast. And I'm like, I would rather, and I know it isn't up to me, but I would rather have Jalen back for another year and use those draft picks to build the defense and offensive line. Not the defensive line. I'm talking about build a defense. Draft like David Ajabo and then because I tell you what, one of the things we haven't mentioned yet, I am very, very, very disappointed in Brandon Brooks. I know that he's had issues with his emotional state and had mm-hmm. certain issues, but I think that he's healthy. He got injured early in the season and they kept saying he was coming back. And he never came back. So unless the injury was much more serious than we were led on to believe, I think that he's done in Philadelphia. I don't see – we got to move on from him at that guard spot. We've not been able to depend on him since the Super Bowl season. He's been in and out of the lineup, and so we have to get another guard. We have to get Dickerson into Kelsey's spot because he's going to be leaving soon. And then you've got to look at the left side. Do we keep Mailata there? Who goes into that left guard spot? Is it going to be Herbig? Or is it, who is it going to be? So we have to make sure the line is taken care of. And then you have to really look at getting another weapon on the outside with Devontae Smith. We can't put it all on him. So we have to look at those three draft picks could be huge in going forward. And if I saw them package two of them to get a 36-year-old Russell Wilson, who is, to me, in the downside of his career, that it doesn't matter if he comes to Philly. If we don't have an offensive line or weapons for Russell, he's not going to do anything in Philly. It's putting a Band-Aid on a crack in a dam. It's not going to make a difference once the water starts rushing through.
Yeah.
So what do you feel about this team going forward? What's your hope?
Well, I'm going to start with the head of the snake as far as the players go. When it comes to the quarterback, there's a lot of rumors out there. You don't want to not, if you can upgrade any position, you don't want to not do that. That's just not good business. It's still a business. When it comes to Hurts, when I look around, I'm like, man, good quarterbacks aren't that easy to come by. I know people get, in their feelings, with how Hurts play. I think he still has a really high ceiling. But good quarterbacks and gamers, just players, they aren't that. They're on a dime a dozen, man. You look at the last draft. Matt Jones did okay, but Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, they people think like, oh no, nah, we'll just get Patrick Mahomes next year, huh? those guys come out once, and they're kind of generational guys. I mean. Patrick Mahomes is already damn near a Hall of Famer, man. He didn't even start his first year in the mm-hmm. NFL, by the way. Sat behind Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers didn't start his first year. Mm-hmm. Sat behind Brett Favre. Tom Brady didn't start his first year. Mm-hmm. Sat behind Drew Bledsoe. So there is no telling when it comes to developing. I'll just name three Hall of Famers there. Russell Wilson wasn't even – remember they picked up Russell Wilson? He wasn't even the guy. Remember they picked up Matt Flynn from mm-hmm. Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
And they got to training camp and they were like, yo, who's this Russell Wilson kid? Matt Flynn, you're gone. Man, they paid Matt Flynn all that money.
Right.
I digress. I'm just saying, good quarterbacks are not that easy to come by. That's why Bridgewater has been on Carolina, Denver, Saints, because he's a good journeyman. He's somebody that can come on. Same thing with Tyrod Taylor. They can come in and manage an offense, but really, really great quarterbacks are hard to come by, man. Trevor Siemian type guys, when you think they're good or have these splashes, then you go, shit, he's not that good at all. Mm-hmm. Glennon, you got Daniels out there for New York.
Right.
Right. You know, Tyler Heineken, he's still pretty average. These are all guys that are starting.
Right.
Yeah. These guys are still pretty average. Mike White that backed up Wilson for the Jets. You know, I don't even know who the backup is for Kirk Cousins out there. What I'm saying is it's good quarterbacks, man. You know, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens. Come on, man. These guys, they go into good environments and it works for them. And they set it off, man. And I seen his stat with Cliff Kingsbury. He had a losing record with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. He was like 13 for 18.
Right.
Like, how do you go 13 for 18 with that? Anyway, I digress. But I thought with that Red River shootout that he had, I thought he should have made a little more adjustments with Kyler's game throughout the game. That quick, you know, Texas Tech ran that quick offense, just boom, boom, boom. That's how Crabtree made it into the league, all over the place. But I'm just saying, it goes back to, look, man, Derek Carr is home after throwing 54. Good quarterbacks are very hard to come by. You don't want to beat Hurts down or punch down on him so much where he doesn't even want to be there, and then you lose a good quarterback. He's 23. They talk about the kid Pickett out of Pitt. Jalen Hurts is younger than Pickett. A little fun fact for you. A little fun fact for you as far as development and growth. Pickett, he's older than Jalen. There's just no guy out there playing college ball right now that can come in and just going to change the Eagles' lives overnight. It's not going to happen. It'll be nice to see Jalen have the same playbook multiple consecutive seasons. He's never had a same playbook in consecutive seasons in the last 6 years. This kid's all over he hasn't had anything consistent. I want to see what happens. You're not going to like this. If you want to bring Gannon back, I don't even care. Just make the adjustments, because we had splashes of you know, when we played really well. We've had splashes, and we shut out the bad teams. There's something to say about that. We shut out the bad teams.
Still gave them 75% completion percentages. So. Horrible quarterbacks. That's the one thing that drives me crazy.
But then I go, okay, go work on that. You know, go work on that. Go work on that. Get you a linebackers coach. Bring somebody in that has a little more experience. None of these guys on the Eagles team have experience, from the coaching staff to the quarterback to the wide receivers. There's no experience anywhere. So the expectation shouldn't really be that high, because you haven't proven anything. I think we should get a wide receiver. I like the guy out of USC. I know it's not a pre-draft party, but I want to give him a big guy, 6'5".
Oh yeah.
Drake Landon out of SC. I think if we go 6'4" or better, give him that big target, that big body to complement Smith and Goddard. And then I think we maybe get a couple defensive guys, man, and for the first round. As far as Russell Wilson goes, I don't want him. I don't see the upside. I would rather take another shot and see what Hurts can do for us than get in a quarterback that can get hurt in the middle of the season, because he's already in his mid-30s. 36 would probably be 37 next year.
36, yeah.
Cool off that. Aaron Rodgers is not coming to Philly.
And Deshaun Watson is another one that they're rumored to be out there. And if his legal, we've talked about this before, but if his legal troubles aren't resolved, we don't want Deshaun Watson here. It's a headache.
I'll say to the Eagles fans, good quarterbacks are not that easy to find. Yep. So we made the playoffs this year. Golly, let's just try to build on that. I agree. That's what most people would do with a first year starter that took the playoffs. Build on that. And then if that proves not to be the thing, do you replace that last? But build around it, then replace it last if that's still the remaining piece that's bringing the team down. Sorry, man. I had a long soliloquy on that.
I hear you, and that's a good place as any to close this season out. I think that what we go out on optimistic. I mean, granted, we know we started this show off and coming out, we weren't really, really bad down, but we were really hard on the team, and deservedly so. We pointed out the faults of what cost them that wild card playoff, but we also can recognize we covered the season every game. We were here on the podcast and we watched the highs and lows. This team started off 2-7, finished or two and five. Sorry, finished started 2-5, finished 9-8, and made the playoffs. You know, one game over 500 in a year that we had a brand new head coach, brand new defensive coordinator, brand new everything. Jalen Hurts full time is a starter. Devontae Smith first year is a wide receiver, and exceeded expectations. Yes, would it have been nice for them to show up in that playoff game? We could only hope going forward that the draft works out in our favor, and whatever happens is that they improve. And I think we can be optimistic in saying that we think that there's a good chance that they will be better next year. We'll see where that goes. They've got a lot of room to improve, but they did some really, really good things. Miles Sanders, you know, even though he was injured, and that's been his down part, showed some flashes out there. Goddard, even though he had the drops that he's got to get under control, showed that he can be the number one tight end on a team. He definitely played solid when we needed him to. The drops got to stop, but other than that, he gives us a weapon. But you're like you said, there's a lot of areas that we need to improve, and quarterback is not, in our mind, a priority. So we are agreement on that. It's just not. I think that especially, it's not like there is a guy out there that's in the draft that we're looking at the draft going, oh, we could have him. There isn't right now. I know the guy from Pitt is a good talent, but there's no guarantees. We know what we got with Hurts. Let's work on him. I mean, it's like, what are you going to give one guy 1 year and then just say, all right, you know, you had your chance? That's not how this is supposed to work. You know, I remember Wentz, we went to the game against the Bengals in Wentz's first year, and he was horrible. His first year was horrible. Now, granted, he had one good year, but it won a Super Bowl. I mean, he played outstanding. We've seen other quarterbacks like that have a really rough first year. And I think last week we showed the stats comparing Lamar Jackson to Hurts in this point of his career, and the numbers are very comparable. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet.
Lamar had a bad first playoff game and won the MVP the next season. So
exactly. So
who knows?
Like with everything in Philly, we can be very passionate and very negative about the team. And I think we've done or tried to do on this podcast is to make sure that we didn't stay too down on the team. We always tried to be optimistic. And I want to thank you for a great season. You kept me positive, because I'm one of the most negative Eagle fans I know, and it's only because I care. But you've always been, since we've been friends, you've always been the guy that talks me off the ledge, reminds me that, hey, it's still good, there's still a chance, and it keeps me grounded. And I think that it's led to some really good shows this year. I think we've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
And there's a lot more fun to come. We're going to do a pre-draft show where we break down and do our own mock drafts for the upcoming draft. We're going to do that in March. And then we're going to do a post-draft show after the draft in April. And then we're going to get ready and do our preseason show all over again, going into the 2022 season. So, hey, we're not that down. We're good.
Right.
We're good people. And you should be good, too. Thank you so much for listening to us this season on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Again, we can't thank you enough for your support, for those that tune in every week, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube or Twitch. We really thank you so much. We actually got a little bit of some congrats there on a great first season. So thank you for that. I thought it was a great time, and we want you back here next season. We're going to be back around. So if you're on our podcast providers like Amazon or Audible or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcaster, Castro, we are going to be back. So continue to follow us. Like I said, we'll be back in March with a pre-draft special. And again, it's been a lot of fun. You can also email us if you have anything you want to hear us talk about in future episodes of future seasons. Our email address is lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. And with all of that, we're going to close this season out by turning it over to Tubby for his final words.
Oh, man, echo your sentiments, man. Hey, it's been a great season. It's been fun, man. Fun talking about the birds. Finally going live and putting it on wax, and just fun to do something with it in general, man. So, hey, man, thanks for the great season, man. Cheers. It's been a good one, man. It's been a good one, man. It's been a good one, man. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll see you again soon.